Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
What a great song. I just love that song, Place of Freedom. That's one of my favorites. Especially when Jessica sings it, I just think it's so powerful. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn the lights on so we can see what we're doing around here. Amen. We need some light. Here we go. Well, glory to God. We've been in our series about being spiritually fit. And I just hope everybody has been receiving. And we're going to close it up today. And it's also been going, we're going to continue a vein of this on Wednesday nights. And so if you're coming on Wednesday night, that's great. We've been talking about the freedom of God and, again, choosing that spirit-led life over a flesh, body-ruled life. It's just so much better. Say it's better.
It's better.
It's better. It's so much better. And so we're going to continue that on Wednesday nights. And we normally don't put Wednesday night up on the podcast, but I am going to start doing that because I just think that this series particularly that we're in is just so life-giving and what we need. We need to grow spiritually, right? We need to learn how to choose our spirit man over that flesh nature, as Paul called it, that body of death. That just doesn't even sound good, does it? You know, if you had to choose life or body of death, which one are you going to choose?
Life.
We're going to choose life. And you know, but we make that choice every single day.
Amen.
Every day we are choosing God's way or our way. And we want to choose God's way. Amen? And so anyway, today we want to just talk about how to stay fit. How to stay fit. We've talked these last few weeks about, first, you know, getting everybody to understand that there's a part of you. All of us has a flesh nature. We all have that part of us that wants to go the way of our natural desires and the way of the world. We all have it. Don't ever beat yourself up because you have it. Even Paul had it. Remember he said in Romans 7, he said, "Oh, what a wretched man I am." He said, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And the rescue didn't come from being better, trying harder, doing this, getting your act together, because you can't do any of those things without Jesus. And so when Paul said that, he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's your rescue. Aren't you glad about that? And so we learned last week what happens when we choose that flesh-ruled life, that life that is absent or it doesn't have God in it. And we want to make sure, we started in the very beginning, just to rewind just a little bit, because I know he has people that weren't here. We started this by saying, you know, there's statistics, you guys know I love numbers and things like that. 78% of Americans say they're Christians. But our country does not look like 78% of people understand the freedom they have in Christ, understand the godliness, the character of godliness. How many would agree with that? But out of that 78%, only 7% of those people said that the gospel of Jesus Christ had changed their life. And that looks a little more accurate. So 71% of the people, they got saved, but then they stopped the journey. And getting saved is not the end of the journey. Getting saved is the beginning of the journey. Amen? It is the beginning of leading and becoming a Christ-like individual, becoming a disciple of Christ. It is the beginning of a brand new life for you. It's not the end. It's the beginning. But a lot of people stop. That 71%, they're like, "Well, I'm saved. That's it." And so then they live their life absent from God. They got born again, and God did a work on the inside of them. But you know what? There's more to it. Say there's more to it. There's more to it. The Bible tells us that when we're disciples of Jesus, and a disciple is a follower, and sometimes people get saved, they raise their hand in church, they get saved, and then they sit back down, and they don't continue to follow Jesus. And then they wonder, why isn't my life changing? Well, your life isn't changing because you're standing in the same spot. And you know, there's no power there, and that's not why Jesus came. He came to save you, but he came to give you, he himself said, a rich and full life here on this earth. You don't have to wait till heaven to get the blessings of God. The blessings of God come from a relationship with God. Amen? And so we want to make sure that if we're in that 78%, if we're like, you know, this thing really hasn't impacted me that much. Yeah, I became a Christian. You know, I was compelled. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died. I believe that he rose again. I believe all that, and that's about it. Well, you're in that 78%. You might be coming on your way down to that 7%. But let's just take the jump and say, I'm going to get into the things of God because I want the gospel to do what the gospel is designed to do. It's designed to change me. Amen? You know, one of my favorite portions of scripture, and I could look it up, but you look it up, is when Peter and John, the Bible says that everyone knew they were uneducated men. But it said that it was evident that they had been with Jesus. See, when you're with Jesus, it's evident. I did a series, one of my favorite series actually that I did a little while ago. It was called Jesus Makes a Splash. You guys remember that one? And we followed Jesus through the New Testament. And everywhere that Jesus went, all the lives around him changed. They changed. Now, some people would just go their own way. Their life didn't change. But those who followed Jesus, those who were open to the things of God, they opened their heart up to the Word of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God, and followed Jesus, their lives changed. They changed. And if your life isn't changing, you guys know my favorite commercial, that's not how this works. It's not how any of this works. Jesus changes your life. And he changes it for the good. He doesn't change it by putting rules on it. It's not about that. He changes it by getting into a relationship with you.
Amen.
Amen. He heals wounds. He heals disease. He straightens out wrong thinking. But we got to jump in and say, all right, I'm gonna go with you. I'm going to go with you because I don't want to be this way. And you say, well, I'm doing all right. Well, then do all right. That's up to you. But if you're here today and you say, you know, I could use a little more joy in my life. I could use some more peace. I could use some more wisdom. Look at your neighbor and go, hello. We could all use a little more wisdom, right? You know, we could all use that. Well, you might need a little more Jesus. And so here we go. So we're going to start over here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. And this is just how to stay fit. How to stay fit. You know, how many, I know I've done this, and I probably shouldn't even ask this question, but I'll use me for an example. I know for myself personally, I can tell you how many times you get on a good routine, and you're like, you're dieting, you're exercising, and you know what? Here's the thing about diets. They all work. They all work. But you got to work them.
Yep.
Right? But they all work. They all work. And so the thing is, but once you stop doing what works, guess what happens? It doesn't work. We are geniuses in here. This is a deep, you know, when people say, man, is your church deep? Tell them, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because when you stop doing what works, it doesn't work anymore. And then what happens? You go right back to where you were. You go right back to where you were. And see, the same thing is true spiritually. This message works. Renewing your mind works. Choosing to be a spirit-led believer works. Being rescued from a body of death and walking in that works. But even Jesus said here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, when Paul's writing, and here's what he's writing, because the church had gotten free with the gospel, but then let's see what happens. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Burdened again. That means I can get free. I can be a disciple, and I can choose that spirit-led life. I can choose to walk with God. Doesn't mean I'm not saved. Doesn't mean that anything like that. It means that I have to stand firm, or that, remember we said that we put ourselves, that we are put our living sacrifice, we put our bodies on the altar, and we say, Lord, I want to live for you. But what happens with a living sacrifice? Crawls off the altar. It crawls off. We crawl off, and then those old habits, those old ways of thinking, that worldliness, all of that, we have to stand firm because it sneaks back in. And the Bible says here, it says, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And what it's saying here is don't let your body become the master again. Don't let your flesh nature, don't let the part of you that's absent, that doesn't have godly intention or godly desires, don't let that part of you start ruling your life again. How many of you remember when your life was ruled by your own nature? You know, hopefully you remember. You know, in Colossians it says, or Ephesians says, we were once dead in our sins, but God, who is rich in mercy. But then God came into our lives. If we're not careful, we'll go back to that old way of thinking. And I'll tell you what, in the body of Christ, that is happening more now than I've seen it happen ever. Where people, believers, are who once stood firm on choices and decisions that they had made to live a godly lifestyle. And then now it's like, well, it's not that big a deal. And it's just like, what happened? You're slave to that again. You're slave to that again. Don't get slave to doubt again. Don't get slave to worry again. Don't get slave to low self-esteem again. Don't get slave to thinking you're nobody again. It's not just the big things. It's all the things. And so Paul writes here and he says, don't be burdened again by that. So how do we stay strong? How do we stay fit? We got to stand firm. And so last week I just encouraged everybody, we need to be offering ourselves up every day. Every day. We read in Romans chapter 12, it says, Paul writes, he says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so this isn't in your notes, just a review. Every day, let's put it, say, Lord, I consecrate myself to you. A prayer of consecration. That's where I say, Lord, not my way, but yours. Your way. I want your will in my life. I want your blessings in my life. And that means I'm going to do it your way. Everybody wants the blessings of God, but we don't want to do it God's way, right? And it doesn't work like that. And so, and then we gotta just withdraw. I talked last week about just that Sabbath time, just that time of unplugging and letting yourself reset, letting God restore your soul, letting the pressure and the stress of the day. You know, a Sabbath time is a powerful time. It's good for you. It's good for your marriage. It's good for your kids. It's healthy. To just unplug some stuff and just be. You know, there's more stress now than ever before. The number one prescribed medication in America is an antidepressant. And that's sad. That's a sad thing. And you say, don't feel like, oh, I'm beating on you because you're on an antidepressant. No, I'm not. I pray that medication helps you. But you know what? Let's not stay there. Let's let God get you healthier. Amen? Let's let God use that medicine to help you, and let's apply the power of God to it. Amen? That's how God works. God can work through medication. I'm not anti-medication. I'm anti-letting that be your only medication. Amen? The Bible says that his word is medicine too. And so let's take another prescription. Not just one you get at Walgreens. Let's get the prescription we get from here. And so when we think about that, we need to withdraw. We need to have Sabbath time. Because the Bible said, God restores my soul. But you got to give him opportunity to do that. How many know some people need their soul restored? They just need to be reset. Reset. It's like a computer. You know, when a computer gets a virus on it, what do? They return it to factory mode. We need to be returned to God mode. Amen. And then the other thing was just living on purpose, honoring God with our bodies. And so we learn these things. We learn these steps to take, but let's stay strong. And so turn over your Bible to Luke chapter 15. We're going to look at a story that probably everybody in here has heard, or you've heard of it at least. And we're going to look at this. This is how we're going to stay fit. Say, stay fit.
Stay fit.
It's going to help you. This is one of those things, you need to hold on to this, it's one of those messages and one of those just godly principles, it'll help you through life. You know, this is one of those messages, it's one of those cornerstone things that you got to go back to a lot. And over here in Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 15 through 17. This is the story of the prodigal. How many know this story? How many have been this story? I've been this story. And he says, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. Say, that country? Who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? When we look here, now let's back up just a little bit, because maybe you're here today and you don't know this story. Let's start in verse number 11. I'll just read it to you. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, my brother always says it's always the youngest. It's always the youngest. How many youngest do we have in here? I'm one, right? He says, and the younger of them said to his father, father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. I want you to underline that, remember that. Remember that portion of scripture right there. It's important. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent it all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And so then what we just read, then he went, and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, you need to underline that one too, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And so the number one thing that we have to always come back to is you don't have to be out in that land, but what that means is, when we start wavering into getting our peace, getting our joy, getting our contentment, getting our sense of self-worth, when we start getting the needs we have in life from that land, you are headed for trouble. Because only God can do that. You will. I was meditating the other day, and the Lord dropped this in my spirit. So good. He said, you will never find freedom using the enemy's tools. Isn't that good? You will never find freedom using the enemy's tools. But that's exactly what we see. But here's the thing. With believers, it doesn't happen like, bam! What happened? It happened. It's a slow journey. It's a slow journey. It's one step. Oh, well, you know, this isn't so bad. It's one step away from getting our peace from God and getting it from other things. It's one step getting my security and knowing that he's the one that meets all my needs. He's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that provides me, and getting that thinking of, well, I'm taking care of myself. I got this. And then slowly we start living a life that is separate from God. There's no longer a lot of prayer time. There's not a lot of reading the word time. It's not that we're big fat sinners. That's not what it is. We're not big fat sinners. Look at your neighbor and say, no. No, you're a good person. You love Jesus. You're in church at 9:30 on a Sunday. You're pretty good, right? I mean, we can compare ourselves to a lot of other people and make ourselves feel really good about ourselves, right? But let's not do that, right? Let's not do that. We want to stay fit. We want to stay spiritually fit so that we don't have those nightmares. We don't wake up and have just a gigantic mess in our life and say, man, what happened? And that's why we've got to learn from this guy, because he wasn't getting what he needed in the father's house. So he thought. And so he went to that land. And he joined himself to a citizen of that land. He went outside what God had provided for him. And we don't want to do that. And we do that by choosing self. We do that by choosing our way. We do that by slowly not praying, not spending time with God. God's not a big part of our life anymore. We love God, but we haven't talked to him in a while. Next thing you know, other things are filling the voids in our life. But that always leads, listen to me, always. You can study history. Even in our own country, we are seeing we're getting away from the principles of God is bringing famine to our nation. A famine of morality, a famine of decency, a famine of finances. Do you know that our government can only cover 60% of the money it spends every month by your taxes? The other 40% is borrowed. Now, what if you and I did that? We'd be in trouble. But see, that's what happens, because when we get free, because see, here's what happened. We get excited. We're in the things of God. We have freedom. We have provision. God is, you know, knowing who we are in Christ, is God is all pumped up, and we're thinking like, man, this is great. That's exactly what happened to this prodigal son. He received all these blessings, and then he started just wandering off. You ever notice when you have money, you don't believe God for money? When you have healing, you don't believe God for healing. When your marriage is good, you don't pray for it anymore. And then famine always comes, because you cannot live separate from God. Amen. You cannot. I don't know how many times I've seen, and I've seen this, where people have come into church with nothing, don't even have a job. We believe God for a job, because faith works. They get a job. Been looking for a job forever. We pray the prayer of agreement, get a job. And then we pray, you know what, so they're on the job, we're going to pray for favor on your job. So they have favor. Favor comes. Increase in finances come. They came from needing the church to help them financially. Now they got money. Now they're doing good. And that's great. That's how it's supposed to work. The Bible says we go from glory to glory. Another translation says level to level. We're constantly supposed to be growing up in the things of God. But that same family that comes in with nothing, and God rescues them, God provides for them, God is there for them, God blesses them. That same family, once they got all they need, hey, we're going out on the boat Sunday. Hey, we're out of town all the time. And you're like, man, famine is coming. Because you can't live without God. You forget where all that came from. And you go to that land. And I can't tell you, I've been in full-time ministry 20 years. I have seen it all. I have seen it all. If I haven't seen it, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Because I tell you what, if I haven't seen it, I can't even imagine it. But I've seen this cycle, because it is a cycle. With freedom comes prosperity. And with prosperity without God always comes famine. Not just money prosperity, prosperity of soul, prosperity of health, prosperity relationship, prosperity on the job, prosperity in life. Without God, because that prosperity comes from God, but then because now we're comfortable, we don't need God so much, we go to that land. Famine always follows. You can even study it in history with countries. You can see it in our own country. And so when we see here, and he's in that country, and then famine comes, because you know what? It always comes. Because verse number 7, but when he had 14, but when he had spent all there, arose a severe famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Without God, you will always have famine, and you will always come to a place where you are in want. Always. But here's what we got to do. We got to stay strong. First, we got to recognize that. We got to recognize that, yes, God is blessing me, but God is the one blessing me. And we've got to always do what this guy did here. He said, when he came to his senses, listen, in every relationship, there's got to be somebody that says, hey, that's enough. That's enough. Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's the other. Hopefully somebody's listening to the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost is saying, hey, that's enough. You've been putting your head up long enough. You need to start reminding yourself of where your help comes from. Amen. You need to come to your senses. And he came to his senses, and what did he come to his senses? He came to his senses and thought back to Father's house. That's where my help comes from. So you always got to come to your senses and recognize you cannot live without God. You can't live the life you want without him. You can't do it. Especially once you've tasted the goodness of God. I tell you, there's no more miserable person than a backslidden believer. You know why? I'd rather be an unbeliever, because that person has tasted the goodness of God. They know what they're missing. They know what they're missing. I speak from experience. And so the number one thing we got to do to stay strong is always admit, always keep in mind, always admit, I need God. I need help. I need what God has for me. I can't make it on my own. Number two thing is over here in Luke 15:18, he says, I will set out and go back to my father and pray to him. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Number, you know what? When we start veering away from God, not putting God where he belongs, just repent. Humbly repent to God and to others. Say, why do I got to repent to others? Because it brings accountability into your life. It brings accountability into you. You know, the Bible says when we confess to God to receive forgiveness. We confess to, you don't have to confess in front of a whole church, but you need to have somebody in your life you can say, hey, I've missed it, and I need you to help me. Because that's what the body of believers is for, when it's done right. And I know there's a lot of judging and all that kind of stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about doing it right, where somebody's going to say, I love you, I care about you, I'm going to help you. I'm gonna remind you. I'm gonna call you up and say, hey, where you at? Hey, have you prayed today? Hey, are you working too much? Right? We need that in our life. We need it. And so here he says, I will set out and go back to my father's house. And that's where that word repent comes from. And that word, the Greek word, a lot of times we just think repent means just being, oh, I'm really sorry, God. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That is not total repenting. Repenting means, in the Greek word, it means to change. That's where the first part of it is meta in the Greek word. Is meta, that means to change. That's where we get the word metamorphosis from. Change. The next part of it is a two-part Greek word. It's metamora. The next part of it is mind. To truly repent, you change your mind. You change your mind. And we all know, how many know you can't change your mind like that? You know, I'll never forget, you know, even in my own life, there's areas where, you know, in the past where I had struggled repeatedly, just kept falling into the same trap of sin over and over again. And it wasn't until I changed my mind. I was always sorry. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was always sorry because I loved God and I wanted to do the right thing. But I kept falling back into that. It wasn't until I renewed my mind by the Word of God. I got into the Word and I studied out and I found out why God didn't want me living that lifestyle. And once I knew why God, I changed my mind. I changed my way of thinking. I changed my mind from a worldly way to a God way. And that's why when people struggle in the area of, sex. Ooh, is that sex in church? When you study in the area of sex, you know, as single people, you know, listen, I've been there. I wasn't born married, you know? I didn't get married until I was almost 28 years old. I understand. I know. I was there. You know, and I remember when people that got born again once they were married, they would try to tell me about, oh, you know, you got to live a sanctified life. And I look at them like, you don't even know. You got married. You were got saved as a married person. You have no idea what it's like to be a single Christian. And so they would talk to me, and I'd just look at them and be like, I don't want to hear anything you have. Because you don't know. I mean, that was wrong of me because they were telling me the word. But you know what? I kept messing up in this area until I just asked God, what do I need to do? Because I'm tired of making the same mistake. He said, renew your mind. And I got into the word and I got to see and I got to understand why God was saying these things, why he was saying, honor your body or the temple of the Holy Spirit. When I changed my mind, it changed my life. When I changed my life, it changed my decisions. When I changed my decisions, I no longer kept finding myself in that land. I stayed in Father's house. And life is better in Father's house. Amen. Amen. And that's true. I mean, you can have that in any area, you know, in finances, in our mouths. You know, how many of us get our mouth just keeps getting us in trouble? And you cannot control your mouth. Listen, the reason you can't control your mouth is because you were raised in an environment where nobody saw the value of controlling your mouth. And so you just, you throw up all over the world every day. And you hurt people and you hurt yourself. You need to get into the Word and you need to understand and change. You need to repent. You need to change your mind about the power of your words. Once you understand the power of your words, you value them more. Because you know that the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know that I have whatever I say. You know that I have the power to choose life and death right here. And when you understand that, you're no longer just flying off the handle, because you've got understanding. And you've changed your mind. You've repented, and it has changed your actions. See, if repentance doesn't change your actions, it's not full repentance. It's not full. And so that's what this guy did. He said, I'm gonna go back. I'm going to go back to my father, and he's going to say, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He went back to repent. He went back because he came to himself. He changed his mind. You want to stay strong? Be quick to repent. Be quick to repent. Don't do mental gymnastics to make what you're doing right. Because if you know in your heart, you say, well, you're judging me. I'm not judging you. The Bible says judge yourself. My life needs to line up with this word. When it doesn't, I'm venturing into that land. Doesn't mean I'm not saved. Doesn't mean I'm going to hell. Doesn't mean anything like that. It means that if I continue, say continue, if I continue on that path, famine is coming. And you can save yourself from a lot of famine in your life by just staying in Father's house. Amen. You know what? There is never famine in Father's house. Never. Never. And so we got to repent. Next thing here is Luke chapter 15. Let's look at 29. It says, but he answered his father when he came home. He said, look, all this. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back over here. And when he, verse number 20. And when he arose and came to his father, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And so here we got to recognize that we need help. Don't start living your life as a Christian atheist. There's a book called Christian Atheist, an excellent book. And it's about, you know why that 71% of people say God hasn't changed their life? Because they live apart from him. They believe in him, but he's not part of their life. You might as well be an atheist. Because you're not getting the help, the peace, the joy. You're not getting the ring and the robe and the sandals that God has for you. Because you're living separate from him. And so we've got to recognize, I can't live without God. I need God. Number two thing is, when we start getting away from him, when he's not so big in our life, let's repent and run back to Father's house. Let's repent and run back and say, you know what? I've sinned. I need to change my mind. Excuse me. And this is probably one of the biggest ones. You've got to daily. How often is daily? Every day. Every day. You have to daily choose to reject the enemy's lies. Because here's the thing about the enemy. He will never stop lying to you. Never. He will never just give up and say, hey, go have a great life. That will never happen. So every day we have to reject his lies. Every day we have to take our thoughts and line them up with the word. Because if we don't, we're going to start choosing ways that aren't God's ways. So here, let's see what happens when the enemy lies. But he answered his father in verse number 29. And this is the older son. He said, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. As a believer, you have to daily choose God's way. You have to daily choose mercy and compassion for people. You have to daily remind yourself that it is not a comparison game, that it's about me and my relationship with God. Because that's what happened to this older son. He's got big brother syndrome, I call it. Because what happened was, here this his younger brother goes out, he lives crazy, and when he comes back, the father celebrates. And instead of celebrating with him, this guy falls into the enemy's trap of envy. Because envy does not celebrate when someone else is blessed. Envy always puts the attention back on themselves. What about me? Envy always exaggerates. Because this is what this guy says. He says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. Now, number one, they had slaves, and he was not one of them. He was the older son. He's exaggerating. And never disobeyed your orders. So he's the son that is saying he has never disobeyed his father. How many know that's he's not Jesus? That is not true, right? He is having a big pity party. And this next one, you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. Go back to verse number 12. Go back to verse number 12. I told you guys to remember that. See, this is what happens. This is a trap. This is how we stay fit. You got to recognize this. You got to recognize when you start throwing a pity party saying, well, this person was blessed and I never did this and I should have this and God's never even done this. You are traveling to that land and you need to draw yourself back with repentance. Listen here. He says, the son, what did he say? You didn't even give me a goat. You didn't even give me a goat, but here we go. He says that when the younger son said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me, and he says, so he divided to, say the next word with me, them. He divided it to them. And if you study out Jewish culture, the oldest son always got more than anyone else. The oldest son, according to Jewish culture, which this whole story is based on Jewish culture. When you understand the Jewish culture, this story becomes so much more alive. And that is so good to always know. But according to Jewish culture, the oldest son, the law of the Jews was that he would get, are you ready? Two-thirds. Two-thirds. So he had two sons. He would give two-thirds to the oldest son, one-third to the youngest son. And here this two-third older, he got it. He said it divided to them. He already got it. But see, I can't tell you how many people have gotten away from God because they've had their feelings hurt and they've got older brother syndrome. And they're like, well, that person gets blessed and I don't get blessed. And the pastor pays more attention to them, doesn't pay enough attention to me. And you know what? They never even gave me a goat. They never even gave me a goat. And I was at every single service, and I never even missed a tithe, and I blah, 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 blah. What happens? That is recipe for disaster. Because here's what you got to know. He said, what did the dad say to him? And this, remember, the father in the story is a picture of our father God. He said, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. You want to stay strong? Never compare yourself to anyone else. Because you know what? When we start comparing, well, that person got blessed and I didn't get blessed and this worked for them, it isn't about that. It's about you and your relationship with God. Because when you start comparing, envy will set in. And when envy comes, the Bible says in Corinthians, where there is envy and strife, says you're just big babies. He says you're like, you're mere men, Paul wrote. He said you're like everybody else. You deal with envy, you deal with strife and every evil work. And so we want to stay strong. So we've got to recognize, I need God, I can't do it on my own. We got to be quick to repent, quick to turn and change our mind. And we've got to make sure that we are not having big brother syndrome. Or we're going to start looking around like, well, what did you get? What's going on with you? What's happening? Right? Because that is only going to lead you to a place you don't want to go. We've got to remind ourselves, I'm in the Father's house, and everything he has is mine. There is enough blessing to go around. Amen. There is enough blessing to go around. Because when you start thinking there's not enough, you become worldly. Right? You ever seen people when they don't think there's enough of something? It gets ugly real fast. You got to remember, I'm in Father's house. My needs are met by my Father. There is always enough for me. You know, we feed our dogs. We let them have food all the time. And none of them are big. Don't be like, oh, your dog's probably really fat. No, they're not. They're all super healthy. But we let them eat all the time. There's always food. Always. I mean, if there's no food, like if they eat it all, they let us know. There's always food. And we have trained them from the time they're puppies that there's always enough. They will never want. Do you know we have never had a fight over food? And that's why we do it. We never want them to think, I got it. And they don't eat fast. They don't guard the bowl. Gilby does a little, but he has issues, you know. But they're just like, oh, I'll eat later. No problem, I'll eat later. There's always enough. And you know what? In Father's house, there's always more than enough. You want to stay strong? Always remind yourself of that. Because if you don't remind yourself there's always enough, you'll want to take somebody else's. Even with praise. There's enough praise for everybody. You don't have to tear somebody down to make you look better. There's enough of God to make us all look great. Amen? There's enough of God to make us all look great. And so we've got to daily choose to reject Satan's lies, because Satan will always try to tell you you're not enough. There is not enough. He'll always try to tell you that everybody else is getting treated better than you. He'll always try to tell you that everybody's getting something you're not. So instead of focusing on God, you'll start focusing on what everybody else has. That's just good preaching. Amen? Amen. That's good preaching. You grab a hold of that, that'll save you a whole bunch of tears in your big pillow at night. Amen? Don't focus on what everybody else has. Focus on what God is doing in you. Right? And then last thing, we got to daily choose to reject Satan's lies. Satan's always going to have a lie to tell you. Always. Always. And then we got to choose God's word. But he says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. And you know why that's such a big deal? Because what did the son say up here? He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. See, the enemy is always going to try to say, you're not worthy. You're not worthy of the blessings of God. You're not worthy of the love of God. You're not worthy of the righteousness God has for you. You're not worthy of a second chance. You're not worthy of a new start. You're not worthy to be forgiven. And that's what he told this guy. That's what he told the son. The son said, I am not worthy to be called one of your sons. Just make me a slave. And you know what? People do that in the body of Christ all the time. They say, I'm not worthy for the blessings of God, so I'm just gonna be poor, and I'm just gonna be penniless, and I'm just gonna be a martyr because I'm not worthy. That's a lie. That's a lie. And you gotta tell yourself all the time, you gotta reject the enemy's lies when he lies to you, and you got to accept God's word. Because the only way a lie no longer works is it is replaced with truth. That's the only way a lie no longer works. When someone lies to you and it has power over you, you, as long as you believe that lie, it's working. But when truth comes in and it exposes that lie can no longer work. So when somebody's told you you're no longer worthy, as long as you believe that, you're going to live like a slave. You're going to live mastered by the things of this world. You're going to live mastered by not feeling good enough. You're not going to live in the things God has for you. But as soon as you accept God's truth, that lie no longer works. And so that's what happened with this son. He was coming home. Now, in Jewish culture, the reason why this is such a big deal is why when Jesus told this story, everybody was so shocked. Because even in today's Orthodox Jewish families, once someone leaves and goes to that country, goes to another lifestyle, goes to another place, they disown, they walk away from the family, they are dead to the family. Even today, that still happens. And if a person would try to come back, what the father would do, he would have a pot. He would have a pot. And he would go out in front of all of the whole village. And he would take the pot, he would say, "This is my son," and he would break it on the ground. Because it could never be repaired. It could never be put back together. That person is dead to that family. But see, Jesus, because of his love, because of his mercy, because of his way and what he's done, he changed all of that for us. Amen? We've all been in that country. We've all done that. And the enemy will say, "You can't go back. There's no hope for you." Because that's what that culture taught. But Jesus showed us a different way of life. He showed us a new way. And what happened? The father didn't have a pot and break it. The father wasn't waiting like, you know, "What are you doing here?" No, the Bible says the father ran out to meet him. This was a whole new way of life. And that's what Jesus wants to give us. So quit listening to the devil when he tells you you're not worthy. Listen to God. Amen? Listen to what God has to say. Because what did he say? He says, quick. God is quick to bring you home. Amen? He is quick. You know what? When we repent, we're right back where we need to be. We are right back in the presence of God. I say this, I've been saying it for years, it'll never not be true. You can go 1,000 steps away from God, he's always one step back. Amen. Always. He says, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. That robe represents righteousness. He says, put a ring on his finger. That ring represented authority. It meant he was a member of the family. He was restored to the family. He wasn't a slave. He was family. He says, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Those sandals, the Bible calls the shoes of peace. Plus, slaves didn't wear shoes. Only family wore shoes. That's how you could tell if somebody was a slave in those times. They didn't have shoes. And so he's saying, put on the best robe, that robe of righteousness. Put the ring on his finger that showed he had authority in that family, and put the shoes on him because he is not a slave, he is a son. Quit listening to the lies of the devil. You want to stay strong? Quit listening to the lies of the devil. You are worthy. Amen? Let's pray this prayer, and I put this online for you, this prayer. It's a prayer of freedom, that whenever, you know, maybe you feel like things are, you're starting to get somewhere you don't need to be and you want to stay strong, I just want to encourage you. I'm going to read this. You can have it online with you. Keep it with you. Say this prayer often. Heavenly Father, I bow in worship and praise before you. I surrender myself completely and unreservedly in every area of my life to you. I take a stand against all the workings of Satan in my life. Lord, I resist all the endeavors of Satan and his wicked spirits to rob me of the will of God. I choose to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I pull down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ and loose into myself a sound mind, the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we are free. That you came to set us free. And Lord, we thank you that when those burdens start to get on us again, that we will be reminded of this story of the prodigal son, that we will remember that we need you. We cannot live without you. We need your help. We will repent and turn and change our mind back to the Word of God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you help us to recognize the lies the enemy has to tell, and that we reject those lies and we replace them with the Word of God's truth. so that those lies of the enemy have no power over us in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you for that, Lord. We honor you. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. And we are thankful that we are free today. We are free from that body of death. And we are spirit-led beings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory. How many know living with God's better? It's better. It's better. But you know what? Every once in a while, we're all human. We're going to find ourselves somewhere. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. No. This is not for me. Let's just be like that prodigal and run right back home. Amen? Let's run right back home. Never run from God when you screw up. Always run to him. It's the enemy that's telling you to run from him. Because God will always rescue you. Always. Amen? God's so good, isn't he? I just love God. I love God because he loves me so much. Yes. Amen? In spite of me. God loves me in spite of me. All right, we're going to receive our supernatural offering. Who's ready?